The following message was recorded at New Beginnings Church in Slidell, Louisiana. Please feel free to duplicate and share this message as you feel led. And you are invited to visit us at New Beginnings Church at 330 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana, 70458. Our Sunday services start at 10 a.m. And if you have any questions, call us at 985-781-4663. And may God richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Lord, we do thank you for your grace, for truly it is amazing. Lord, that you would look down upon us and see fit to call us children of God. Lord, we just thank you for that grace that continually amazes and builds us up and encourages us. Be with us now, Lord, as we hear from your word, words of life and truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll speak a brief message, if you will. I believe to honor God. I believe to encourage you, to encourage me, and to know that God is who He says He is. Life's hard. Things don't always go our way, and we ask why, and sometimes we ask, why me? Sometimes the means don't justify the end. We feel like we work hard, we put a lot of effort in, and we look at the result and wonder if it was all worth the effort. Sometimes, no matter how hard we try, we just don't get the satisfaction that we're seeking for in life. Sometimes there seems to be an emptiness that we just can't seem to battle. But a lot of times, it seems like there's always somebody trying to destroy our peace, whether it's a gossiping neighbor or maybe it's just the newscaster on the evening news trying to disturb us one more time. We cry our tears and seems like nobody cares. We hurt and people laugh at us. There was a time that this could have been, these things could be a part of any one of our lives, going from one moment of disaster to another moment of disaster. We were seeking the best and finding the worst in ourselves and perhaps the worst in other people too. The things I've described are the circumstances of life. They're not the essence of life, but they are the circumstances of life. And sometimes we let these circumstances of life control us. And I would tell you, it is not the circumstances of life that determine our wholeness and bring us the peace in life. Truly, it's the condition of our heart. Not the outside stuff, it's what's going on the inside. And for those of us who are believers, we can take comfort in the words of Romans chapter 10, verse 9, where it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It seems to be commonplace for individuals to spend time judging each other based on the circumstances of our life. We put people in categories based on where we think we see them. Some people are rich and some people are poor, sick and healthy, employed, unemployed, incarcerated, and free. We make judgments. We have opinions about stuff like that. And we think because we see the circumstances that we really understand what's happening on the inside of that person. It is not the things that we see that determine who we are, but it's a condition of our heart that makes us who we are and how we approach this life that God's given us to live. In the lifelong pursuit of peace and wholeness, the circumstances of life cannot control us. We cannot allow the circumstances around us to control us because we can't control the circumstances. But we can control what goes on the inside, and to be able for us to understand that it's the love of God, that it's the Word of God, that it's His grace and His mercy that adds a wholeness and a strength to our life, not the circumstances of the things going on outside. St. Paul in Scripture suffered many difficult circumstances. These were not the things that shaped him, but it was the things that he suffered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, we find these words. He said, I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. He said, 5 times I have received from the Jews. Remember, the Jews were his people. He was raised with these folks. And he said, I've received from the Jews the best people in my life, 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked, and I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. Sounds like a homeless guy almost, huh? I've been in danger from the rivers, in danger from the bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews. What's that all about? In danger from the Gentiles, in danger from the city, in danger from the country, in danger from the seas, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. Had been cold and naked. Paul was shipwrecked off the coast of Malta. We had the pleasure when we were missionaries to visit Malta and to see the place where they say that Paul landed and for the time that he spent there. And even though he was stranded in Malta and he spent all that time out at sea, he still ended up in Rome, which was his goal. He was stoned at one point in his life and left for dead. Yet he got up and he preached again. He spoke with kings and with merchants, and he spoke with a boldness, with the truth, but he also was able to speak with humility. He was incarcerated, and as far as I know, he died in jail. The circumstances are not always what we would want to see in our life or his life. But he wrote in a letter to his friends in Philippi, and this is what he said. He said, I've learned to be content. Whatever the circumstance, the things that we can't control, the things on the outside of us that we struggle with, he said, I've learned to be content. I've known what it is to be in need, and I've known what it is to be in plenty. And I have heard the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in want. Ricky would probably say, it is what it is. Amen? I would not say the reason Paul said these things and he was at peace because he was necessarily a psychologically perfect person who was well-balanced and a realist. Scripture tells that Paul did not focus on the circumstances of life. The things that are going on around us, what people are saying to us, what we are feeling, are not the things that he focused on. St. Paul focused on something else. He was a soldier in the army of Jesus Christ. He focused on preaching the gospel. He said, I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach. He had a vision. He had a purpose in life, which was to tell people about freedom from sin. To tell people that in Jesus Christ there's grace and there's mercy. To tell people in Jesus Christ there's new life. That you're transformed from the old person to a new person. That was his message in life. And it didn't make a whole lot of difference what was going on the outside. But yet if we see those things that are going on his outside, we would see a guy who was, maybe he was like the guy who stood at the intersection and says, we'll preach for food. Because he worked as he had to support his ministry as a tent maker. He didn't have a house, or I don't think he was married. I don't think he had any kids. He didn't have a 401k. He didn't have a health insurance. He didn't have Obamacare. He didn't have any of these things. And we... I think you're right. We pay for it. I'll let you know what happens later. I'm not going to lift Ricky up to the status of St. Paul. It would be somewhat inappropriate to do that, in that St. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But my purpose in comparing what happened here was to make a clear separation from the judgments that we make in other people's lives and separate that from the abundance of love and grace that Jesus Christ extends to each one of us. Not because we deserve it. I know some of you real well, and I would tell you what, you don't deserve God's grace. But you got it. You've got it in abundance because you're a child of God and He loves you. We're children of God. From the outside, we could gossip and speculate on the life of Ricky Pena in the same way that many probably took issues with the circumstances in Paul's life. The world's perspective as to the goodness of an individual is not based on the outside circumstances that we see in their life. With beatings, incarceration, stoning, criminal charges against St. Paul, we should not judge him by those things. St. Paul was not everybody's favorite person. The people who beat him, the people who threw rocks at him, the people who abused him in so many ways and put him in jail would not say, "This guy's my best friend, let's throw a rock at him." They were his enemies. But yet he loved us. Friends, we make a mistake by judging each other on the conditions and the circumstances of life. I think we can agree with Ricky was in a troubled place, and I think he struggled with many circumstances during his life. That part is what it is. I can't change it. He couldn't change it. While I didn't know him personally, I know some people who did know him. Pastor Morris knew him. And right after Fran called me, I called Pastor Morris and I said, did you know Ricky? He said, yeah. I said, was he saved? Morris said, oh yeah. He said, you would have liked him. He was a good guy. He just had issues in life. Right along with his imperfections in life, just as we all have our imperfections in life. Would the perfect one please raise your hand? Can't do it. Along with our imperfections, along with Ricky's imperfections, he professed Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Ricky was willing to proclaim the love of Christ to anyone who would listen and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord and Savior. Without Christ, we're stuck. Without Jesus, we're stuck with circumstances of life. Without Jesus, there is no compass in life. There's no moral guide. There's no standard of life. There's no handbook for life. What are we supposed to do when we get up in the morning? I don't know. Without Jesus and without the Word of God, I don't know what we're supposed to do. What we do is we let circumstances throw us around. We let circumstances abuse us. And the person who's inside here is wandering around through life. Ricky didn't wander through life. Circumstances caused him a bunch of grief. But he knew who he was. And who he was a child of God. And he wasn't afraid to tell anyone else. Concerning the circumstances of our life, we can all say, it is what it is. The good news is that there's more than circumstances to life. There was a Pharisee, his name was Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And he was one of the leading teachers in all of Israel. And he came to the place where Jesus was staying one night, and he wanted to know more about what Jesus had been talking about. He saw him do miracles. He heard his teaching. He saw all these things, and he came to him at night, maybe so nobody else would see him. It doesn't say why he came at night, but he did. Knocked on the door, came in. Jesus welcomed him in, and they talked for a little while. And I think from what I read in John chapter 3, Nicodemus probably got a little more confused at the beginning than he got straightened out. But Jesus did straighten him out. Some of the most widely quoted scriptures is when what I'm going to read to you. But you know, sometimes when you hear familiar scriptures, you begin to tune it out. You begin to say, yeah, well, I heard that before. I know that's true. So I want to read to you from a different version of the Bible. It's called The Message. And The Message talks about John 3:16 through 21 with some words that maybe might impact us a little more strongly. And this is what he said. He said, "You know, Nicodemus, this is how much God loves the world. He gave his son, the one and only son, and this is why, so that no one, you ready? No one be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life." Wow. God didn't go to all the trouble to send his son merely to point an accusing finger at you, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. Anyone who trusts in him is acquitted. Anyone who refuses to trust with him has long since been under the death threat without knowing it. And why? Because of that person's failure to believe in the one-of-a-kind Son of God when introduced to him. Here we go. This is the crisis that we're in. This is the conundrum. This is the thing that confuses us. This is where the rubber hits the road. He said, this is the crisis we are in. God's light streamed into the world, but men and women everywhere ran for darkness. They went for the darkness because they were not really interested in pleasing God. Everyone who makes a practice of doing evil, addicted to denial and illusion, hates the God light and won't come near it, fearing a painful exposure. But anyone working and living in truth and reality welcomes God light so the work can be seen for the God work it is. Amazing scripture. God loves the world. He didn't send his son Jesus to put a guilt trip on us. He didn't send his son Jesus to break our back. He sent his son Jesus to give us a promise of a whole and lasting life for everyone. Not just for a select few, but it's for everyone. Not pointing the accusing fingers at our shortcomings. We all got them. Ricky had his. Guess what? You've got yours. We're not acquitted by trusting. We're acquitted by trusting in Jesus, by believing and condemned by not believing. The God light causes men and women to run for the darkness, and that's true. No one in darkness is interested in pleasing God, but his children are. Just because we're his children, we want to please him. As human beings, we do not have the capacity to understand the full scope of God's love for us. It's just an amazing thing. You know, while we were all still sinners, before we were even born, Jesus looked into the future and he saw you and me. He didn't see a blob of people. He didn't see a mass. He saw you and me individually. And when he died for our sins 2,000 years ago, it was like, think of it this way, it was like when he did that, he created enough forgiveness for each one of us. Okay? And it was God's universal bank. And he opened an account. And in that account, he put enough forgiveness in that bank account for you. It was enough to cover whatever your strange wanderings in life are. There's enough forgiveness in that bank account for you. The word says that when we're saved, when we take Jesus, when we turn from our sins and accept Jesus as the Lord of our life, they say our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, when that happens, think of it as the signature card on your account. It's the signature card that gives you access to that account. You can go to that account with Jesus, sign on the account, and withdraw from that account all the grace, all the mercy, all the love that you'll ever need for forgiveness in your life, so that your life will be long and lasting, a life of peace and wholeness. It's right there in the bank. You just have to go sign for it. find the signature card. Ricky trusted Jesus. Ricky signed the card. Ricky withdrew enough. He cashed in on God's love for him. A day like today is to celebrate life, to celebrate Ricky, to celebrate the good things, the wonderful things that we've heard spoken, the memories, the tears that have been shed. To honor him, to honor each other, to respect him, to bring good things to him. But also, it's just a time to recognize who God is. This is a temporary state for us. We're just passing through, folks. But there is an eternity out there. The question is today, would we follow Ricky and follow those who have gone before him so that when our eyes close, that they open up in the presence of Jesus? We all make choices every day. We make choices. Some choices are good choices. But I would tell you the best choice that we can make today is to choose Jesus. Scripture shows us tells us about a picture in Revelation about, it says Jesus is standing at the door and knocking. And he's standing at the door and knocking today for each one of us. People sometimes said, why do you always do that? You have a memorial service and you're trying to guilt people. No, just trying to offer an opportunity. Just for these rare times when we talk and say, you know what? There's more to life than the circumstances of life. There's more to life than being pushed around by the newscaster in the evening news and by your gossiping neighbor. There's more to life than that. There's a fullness and a richness. And that fullness and richness can only be realized through Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you, Lord, for this time we get to share together. And Father, we pray that as you bless the speaking of the word and the reading of the word today. May it honor you and bless you. May it encourage and lift us up, that we too may find peace and comfort and satisfaction and wholeness in life, that the emptiness of our soul would be filled by the love of God. We love you, Lord, and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.